from Moscow. So what we want to do now is to say to them, provide that they must then display their name tag to ensure that now if a motorist meets one of these officers, he or she can be able to identify the relevant officer that you are dealing with. By prohibiting the impersonation of traffic officers and the wearing thereof of traffic officers' uniform without the necessary authorization. By empowering the minister to prescribe the training procedures and qualifications of persons appointed as national inspectors at driving license testing centers and testing stations. In dealing with driving license, we also have to look at the process that one has to follow in obtaining a driving license. We, as a country, do not obviously interact in China. We interact with our neighboring states. And some of the problems that we had experienced was wherein we did not provide for documentation issued in foreign countries with regard to the roadworthiness of that particular motor vehicle. Empowering the minister to prescribe the manner and form of accident reporting. By providing for circumstances when emergency vehicles may ignore road traffic signs and speed limits. Providing for liabilities of managers and agents and employees of operators. Empowering the MEC to set fees, deleting obsolete provisions contained in the NRCA, and to provide for any matters related thereto. I'm not sure whether to pause now for some clarity between questions or must I then continue in explaining the amendment done by the law. Clause 1 amends the existing definition and inserting a new definition. Clause 2 amends Section 3A of the Principal Act by providing that persons who are appointed on probation must comply with the competency registration requirement and may not use an authorized officer's infrastructure number to certify a motor vehicle. Amend Section 3K of the Principal Act by prohibiting the wearing of a traffic officer's uniform by people who are not duly appointed traffic officers, by providing for instances where the minister and the MEC may wear a traffic officer's uniform. Amend Section 4 of the Principal Act by providing for the operation of a motor vehicle on a public road in instances where such motor vehicle is not licensed and registered. Amend Section 8A of the Principal Act by prohibiting a private person from operating a driving license testing center and by providing that all driving license testing centers must be registered and licensed. Section 11 of the Principal Act by empowering the minister to prescribe the training procedures and qualifications of persons appointed in terms of the national service test. Amend section 17 of the Act by making it an offense for an applicant for a learner's license or to use an authorized aid during the testing process. Amending section 18 of the Principal Act by streamlining the process of issuing of driving license after the examiner has conducted the driving license test and by making an offense for the applicant to use any unauthorized aid during that driving license test. Amend section 20 of the Principal Act by providing for the conversion of the old TBVC state driving licenses. Amending section 21 by providing that an applicant for a learner's license or a driving license can apply to be evaluated at any driving license testing center within the Republic. Amend section 27 of the Principal Act by including a requirement that the authority that issued a driving license should be notified in respect of transactions relating to that driving license. Section 35 of the Principal Act by providing for appropriate sentences that can be imposed if a driver has exceeded the maximum speed limit by a certain speed. Amending section 41 of the Principal Act by providing for the training procedures and qualifications that must be complied with for persons to be appointed as examiner of motor vehicles and cater for the criteria for the registration of such testing stations. Amend section 242 of the Principal Act by providing for the acceptance in the Republic of roadway certificates issued in foreign countries. Amend section 58 and 16 by providing for drivers of emergency vehicles who have the necessary authorization to be excluded from complying with the prescribed limits in relation to speed and disobeying of road traffic signs. Amend section 61 of the Principal Act by providing for the conduct of the driver involved in an accident on a public road and the process that should be followed after the accident. Amending section 68 of the Principal Act by providing or prohibiting the tampering with any document issued in terms of the National Road Traffic Act. Instead, after section 74 of the Principal Act provision that streamlines the prosecution of operators of motor vehicles, in addition to the prosecution as it currently stands of the driver of a motor vehicle for an overloading of such motor vehicle. Amend section 76 by providing a standard that has been amended or replaced in terms of the Standards Act, which were incorporated by the Minister in terms of the National Road Traffic Act provision, that such standards remain incorporated until the new or amended standard is reincorporated again. Amend section 76 of the Principal Act by providing for the requirement as contained in the Promotion of Access to Information Act. amend Section 81 of the Principal Act by providing for clarification in terms of exemption that can be granted by the Minister and those that can be granted by the MEC. Amend Section 89 of the Principal Act by providing for offences and sentences that may impose for non-compliance with the provisions of the National Road Traffic Act. Amend Section 92 of the Principal Act by providing for different fees that can be levied as required by the National Road Traffic Act. We have consulted with our provinces within the structures that exist in amending any legal or the National Road Traffic Act. We have various committees where in all the 9 provinces are party to the discussion relating to any proposed amendment. We also have structures that allow for the engagement of the industry with regards to legislation amendment. We also have consulted with various departments that may be affected by the proposed amendment. We therefore request your approval of the National Road Traffic Amendment. I thank you.
Now, thank you very much for that brief and for presentation. Are there any questions perhaps that the members would like to raise? Honorable Pandoy.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got a couple of questions here. Chairperson, my first question has to do with the wearing, prohibiting the wearing of black goggles with uniforms and things. It's nice to have it there, but how are they going to do it? I mean, you can find these uniforms all over the show. How are they going to limit this? How are they going to enforce it? So that each uniform doesn't become available for the public. So the course in itself is by the way, it's a little bit of the house. The second one, is the wearing of name tags. Again, that's very nice, very good to have. But for me to wear a name tag or somebody else, how are the public going to really identify that person? I could be a coach from America, and I'm not coach from America. How are you going to know who the hell am I now? The tax is nice, but I don't think it's really going to address the problem. I just want to know how is the public going to be really able to identify it. Then, Chairperson, Clause 7 in Section 17 of the pension, making it an offence for an applicant to make use of unauthorised space during the test of the learner's license. And also the next one, the next one. Now my concern is here that we're focusing on what the applicant the public may not do. But really the fraud starts within the department itself, with the officers. Why isn't the officer also subjected to this? What is being the regulation for an officer who is conducting these testing, not to use certain things, individual things? What is the department doing to address the fraud on the side of the official itself? And then the last one, Chairperson, MSC can test free. Is there a standard that he can test free, or can he just test any fees? What standards are you? Are those fees published somewhere in the regulations, or how does he establish what fees can be tested?
Thank you, Chairman. Just who you are?
I'm Lu Yang from the decade.
Oh, what is the problem? I thought you were part of the officer.
No,
oh, now let me go to come closer. Welcome in any case. Better delegate from the decade. Okay, in that color.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairperson, my colleague has actually touched on all points that he wants. Chairperson, what the presenter is actually telling us on page 3, it's 34, that the problem is within the department, not out there. Because what they want to have is fraudulent activities within the issuance of driving license and roadworthy certificate. That's where the problem lies. Those are the countries. Now, I would also like to know what is it in place, what is the intention of doing this? Because number of testing stations in my area have been actually shut down. And I don't know the outcome of it, what has happened. Only probably a few countries have been taken to court. I don't even have the statistics for what has been located, which is a crucial issue that what we want to know. And that what is the minister intend doing?
What's your
name, sir? Other two. I think Dangaste also involved, and also and many others. Those were the testing stations that were very involved. the other one, it is, now my colleague is special, but impersonating public officers. Now, to go on details and give qualifications, it is confusing me, because it says wearing a public officer's uniform without official permission. Now, that one is no longer now impersonating them. It is now a kahoot between the country and the office. But impersonating is a person who can come up in most cases if you drive in Gauteng, which are the prevalent issues with the metro police. They'll stop you at night. They don't even have the uniform. I've had cases of that incident in that. Gone to the police station. I'm going to court about this. Though that is the impersonating police. Now, it is privileged in the Russian and the Metro police. Now, they have done that to me, also stopped me at 12 at night, tried to falsify or put a charge that was not even there, but kill a thing and will be somewhere. And someone misses his name. That's missing the thing. Do our way. That's all. I'm working with you, that's no problem. These are the things that probably, as I say, the problem lies that in testimony, it will be in that form where a fifth officer will go and stop a vehicle without a uniform or without any identification. Now, I don't hear much of what will happen, what are the penalties for those chairperson on page 7, the minister may prescribe the manner and form of accident reporting. I don't know whether that now is not encroaching on the Western or on the function. Because after the accident, the police are the one who will do the measurements, they will be the one who will prepare a report to present in court. Now, I don't know whether that function is now probably here, trying to remove it from those people, because those are the only people that I know that they are capable and they can do it. Well, the other field, I can do that field. Now, if I may move further afield, uniform has been touched. One that actually tickles my nose there. Now, let's come on up on page 15. That's what I'm interested. That is section 35. The principal act by providing an appropriate sentence. Sentences that can be imposed if a driver has exceeded the maximum speed by certain speed. But here, I would like to know, are we now implying to put a minimum sentence? Because that is a very crucial issue that the presiding officers don't want to get. You can even argue the minimum sentence to prescribe to them that this is the sentence you must impose in finding a certain case. How are we going to go about with that? Because the synthesis implies the minimum sentence. Because it says the maximum speed by a certain speed. That the certain, yes, they can put a fee, but their sentencing, I think it purely lies with the discretion of the court. They always feel that you are now removing that discretion. I am the one who listens to evidence and can impose the appropriate sentence. Thank you, sir.
I think that all of them need some of my questions in order.
In conclusion.
But I would like to establish the issue of the uniform. I thought by now they have had a uniform for our traffic officers nationally. Because you still go to provinces, you get different types of uniforms. That's exactly why we are not going to be able to deal with those that are imposing themselves, the imposters. Because you go anywhere, you get a trainer who is authorized to make uniforms for our traffic officers, making for this criminal. And then we are not going to be able to control it properly if we don't get a uniform nationally for all our traffic officers. The second issue is on the issue of foreign country documentation. Can I establish how I'm going to verify if those are legitimate documents? Because I think to me it's something that is giving me problems. Emergency vehicles, we know for a fact that they do that even when they are not having any images. They just do that for the sake of doing. How are we going to ensure that whatever they do within the parameters of their duty? I mean, if they want to go through checking, they dress their lives and they are allowed to go through and rush there. If they want to go and do their programs, that's exactly what they do. And then the last issue on it. I mean, let's be honest. We are not going to be able to deal with corruption and criminal activity if we don't start from And I think this has been said for quite a long time. Is there any interaction between the Department of Transport and the Department of Education? I think if we start at school level, have this included on our curriculum, then I think we can, do our with all this content, starting from traffic officials, testing centers, you name it. Chairperson, I'm talking about this. Last week, Thursday, there was a lady who wanted to cross the street where she was not supposed to cross, and she had this little girl with her. You know, the girl cried, the mommy actually told me that I must not cross here. I must cross at the house. And she refused because she was taught this is very dangerous. Why don't we do something like that? Why don't you come up with something that will show that this coming leaders of our country, this coming women, are empowered so that they don't go through what is present in the community. They are not corrupt. I think our country can get some savings.
Is it me? No, I couldn't hear what you said. Did you call me? I think Mr. Mustadin did a good job of reading this presentation. He would have got full marks for reading if it was in class. But with all due respect, sir, you failed to explain any of the things that you were reading. There's a number of things that I can understand. I could have read it at home, but I still don't know exactly what is meant by the department. Let me start at the back, because I did have a minute or two to glance at the actual bill. On page 17, you speak of clauses 15 and 16, and Honorable Matanyane just referred to that as well, which says, and I'm reading now what was read, clause 15 and 16 amend sections 58 and 60 respectively of the Principal Act by providing for drivers of emergency vehicles who have the necessary authorization to be excluded from complying with speed and road traffic fines. Now, what does that mean, sir? It means, if I read the Act correctly, that if a vehicle is properly identified by a visual light or by an audible sound, siren or whatever, or a blow, 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 then that vehicle is excluded from complying with the speed and the road traffic. But it doesn't say so yet. A question that arises from that to me is if Honorable Abraham Zizi goes on a visit, oversight visit to Paris or wherever in the next province, he's met by the traffic officer, he's put into a VIP seat, receiving bed, and in front there's a traffic officer with a blow, 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 and whatever, and one behind, and there they go. Those two cars are exempted from complying with the speed and road traffic signs. But the car in the middle in which Mr. Zizi is traveling is not exempted because it hasn't got a blow, 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 or a wee. And I think that is lacking in the law. If nobody reaches through these things and say, yeah, we're going to bridge the problems and we're doing exactly the same. But there is a definite gap in the law, I think, that should be addressed. And that goes for any distinguished visitor from overseas. In a vehicle escorted by traffic or whatever vehicles that comply with this new section 58 and 60. But the car in which the person is traveling does not comply. I'd like to know what would happen in a case like that. Secondly, it says in clause 42, or it says in clause 14, amend section 42, providing for the acceptance of roadworthy certificates issued in the foreign country. I see red lights flashing all over the place. That means that any scorer coming into the country with a certificate issued in Lumbombaja or wherever they are living is now accepted as roadworthy. Unless I'm reading it wrong or yelling it wrong, could we please get an explanation? Because if we're going to be strict on the road traffic and we say that vehicles must be roadworthy, but we're prepared to accept a roadworthy certificate from any country, any foreign country that does not comply to the high standards we are trying to set, I see danger.
Yeah.
Thirdly, sir, it says that a driver, that's section 22, applicants for the learners or the driver's license apply to be evaluated at any driving license testing center. I just want to get clarity on this. Does that mean in the past you had to be in your own municipality, in your own municipality, you could now go anywhere? People in Victoria can go to Wuffies, whatever the case. Is that what I'm understanding? Clause 27 says that it includes the requirement that the authority that issued the driving license must be notified in respect to transactions relating to that license. What does that mean? Could I please get the explanation? I don't really understand what that means. And then, sir, the other one has also been referred to as the unauthorized aid during a test. I'd like to know what is described as an unauthorized aid. I really don't know. Maybe it's expanded on in the law. In the Act. And then the last one from my side is section 8A of the Principal Act is amended by providing a private person, prohibiting a private person from operating a driving license taking center. Does that mean that in the past, before this amendment or presently, any person can just operate a driving license center without being registered in grade? Again, I don't understand that. I think that's enough from me. I have others, but I'll maybe we'll get some explanation. Thank you, sir.
A check has been mailed. The CDVCA license date. How are they going to rectify those licenses that are all over the country, taken and flow from Cape Town, from Mpumalanga, or to Petersburg for a license those years? How are they going to do that? And the other thing, I concur with what you say. You know, you may have two teachers differently. The best teacher is the teacher who knows the matter and knows he or she is transferring the matter to people who do not know that information. And you put it in such a way that the person receiving the information may even become a better teacher than you, who is presenting the matter. I'll find an example on page 8. The object of the bill, providing for liability of managers, agents, and employees. This which has been explained, or what does it mean, for me doesn't make any sense. Maybe my mind is too short to make sense. It says empowering the NEC to set fees. We have 9 NECs throughout the country who might be dealing with this matter. Does it say every NEC when he
what he gets up and come up to see which one the uniform for our country. Deleting absolute provision. What does it mean? What does it say to me? What should I understand under that deleting absolute provision? If I brief the portfolio committee in the province and say, what do you mean by deleting absolute provision? This has not been explained. To provide for matters connected. I'm just finding this, I do not know whether this is a new department, but the department we've been dealing with in the past, you know, they have come to a point where they put their breathing notes in such a way that you don't struggle, you have to make them for you. Page 10 says, clause 1, amend the existing definition and insert new definition. Other briefings will indicate which insertions are those. You have it before you. Amend existing definition and insert new definition. Which are those? What am I going to say? Chairperson, maybe my mind is too short to understand. But there are other presentations that makes it so easy for me when I go to college. It says those two. Amend Section 3A of the Principal Act by providing that persons who are appointed on probation must comply with the competency registration requirement. You know, the briefing that does not help us much because you are teaching us to become teachers with provinces. Like, we are asking you questions, provinces will also ask us questions. And I do not know who to blame in this case. I'm citing only this example, Jefferson, but the whole document, the Honorable Watson said, the teacher was reading through, and he was not explaining. You know, if he was reading and explaining, it would have helped us a lot. So definitely, fortunately, we understand the issue of driving a car as Boroboro without being registered. At least you understand those dynamics. Maybe you might try, you know, with your knowledge to say, and you may even say things which are not meant. But the briefing does not help us, you know. I don't know how we do that. There are other departments, really, they do their briefing in such a way that you can take the briefing notes without them coming to brief the committee. And you can go and brief the committee. I'm just saying this, I don't know whether this can be refined.
Thank you very much. Can we just for the benefit of all of us, just introduce yourself?
I'm Gilel Mienge from the legislature of the ECG, representing the Portfolio Committee on Rules and Passport. I think one of the things that covered me to a certain extent on the two questions that I wanted to put. Let me return some of those assertions that he put forward. One around the question of the uniformity. If MECs are allowed to come up with their own different standards, and fees, how do you then begin to say where the Department of Transport with laws? Because as of now, there is a problem around the question of registration of rally. In other provinces, like in the Eastern Cape, we were compelled to re-register under the new law to be number so and so BC. But when you go to Devon, you find the old MD, and when you get into Cape Town, you find that the CCA. Then now, Chair, on the role of other departments like SAP and the Department of Justice, the poor traffic officers will apprehend transgressors, but when they get into the prosecution, they get lenient there, where you will find a driver who drives without a driver's license, get a 200-rand fine, or someone who is driving a vehicle under the influence of liquor, then that person is getting a suspended. So now it's a ridicule, the whole idea of having these traffic laws. So those are the questions that I wanted to pose. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Honourable Member. Because sometimes I'm very consistent with this. I always ask the question. You don't just develop amendments to a legislation if there is no political problem that is in your time. And as you come to grief as a legislator, I think the those bases assist us a lot. For instance, if maybe the presentation would have started by giving us a picture, a political picture of the challenges in the country that we're faced with, and then move into the technical aspect, it would have assisted. Because when you go to the legislature, you then be able to say, this piece of legislation is to address this particular challenge that we're faced with in the country. And therefore articulate those technical aspects. You may not be able to deal with all of them in a manner that the officials from the department would be able to deal with, but at least you would have the political basis of engaging with the issue. The second comment, of course, comes back to the emergency vehicles, which then picked up on the issue that Ronald was mentioning. Because my concern was there is a general outcry in the country. And if you've been following it, SAFM has been quite consistent with it. The culture on our roads. And people always raise this thing very sharply of your, I don't know, is it emergency vehicles or what? It's premium. Your vehicle protectors or something like that. To what extent? In what category do they fall? The kind of accidents they get involved in, the speed that they're driving on our road, without even the very thing, what you call them, what Hindu thing?
Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, an MEC driver does not have this blah, blah, blah. He has got all the fluid on our road. And sometimes it just push you off there and nothing gets done. So maybe if you can get an understanding on that. The coming to that, what happened to a situation? Of course, we know there's also general problems in our country that relates to the sometimes the response of our health agencies. What happens in a situation where my sister is pregnant and the labor is about to give birth, and I get her on my car and I run to the hospital and I ignore all the road signs because of this situation? I'm not authorized or designated as an emergency vehicle, but I put on my hazard, I just move because of, I don't know how to handle this. because we are only two at home. What then happened in that kind of situation? Or my brother or my sister collapsed at home, other said, what provisions has the earth made for such a situation? Meaning, you as a civilian, in the police, you can make a civilian arrest, isn't it?
Yes.
But in traffic terms, you can't be a civilian doctor, a civilian nurse, or a civilian emergency a medical practitioner, I don't know. But you understand what I'm trying to explain. I'm quite surprised. I thought we were the end of this thing, which is achieving my mistakes. I'm quite surprised that since 1994 we're not yet resolved that kind of problem. You see, there are people who are driving what they say, hey, driver's license or helmet, driver's license, I don't know. And how do we think that the department through legislation now are going to resolve it after 14 years? It's quite intense. I had thought that the whole thing
Chairperson, honourable members, on the question
that have been placed before the department in terms of getting clarity and understanding and how do we move forward in addressing some of the issues that are contained in the proposal. The most of the issues that have been raised are the issues that we as Department of Transport, we have been trying to address for years, and unfortunately we could not address those issues because, as honorable members have correctly pointed out, they have to take the proposal to provinces for provinces then to agree. One important aspect is the issue of why do we have so many uniforms in the Republic? Are we not one Republic? The answer is why do provinces prescribe different uniforms? In an attempt by the department to address the fragmentation that exists within the traffic fraternity, we established the Road Traffic Management Corporation with the purpose of saying constitutionally this function lies with you. Can we have this organization then taking the responsibility of unifying what the MECs may prescribe, fees, and various MECs can set their fees. We can only prescribe how the process that is included. I'm not sure whether KZN is here.
No, we're
here. KZN. Representation was made. This is obviously one of our competencies. Why do you want to encroach on one of these competencies? We need to engage in this matter and unpack it and see how will it affect us as provinces in terms of our power to prescribe this fee. To this day, submissions have been made to the MECs to say the RTMC was established with the purpose of unifying the current fragmentation that exists. One, law enforcement. Two, the licensing and registration of motor vehicles. The testing of drivers, which most of this function at provincial level. The representation, the request in terms of transferring of the function have been submitted to structures like the shareholders committee that comprises of the 9 MECs and 2 officials from SALDA. The presentation has been made to MINMET, which comprises of the same MECs relating to the traffic in terms of the transferring of function. Unfortunately, we as Department of Transport cannot prescribe a uniform for law enforcement because that's not one of our functions. That's why we said let us establish the RTMC. The RTMC will then have uniform standards under which all traffic management would then be directed. I hope when honorable members then take the proposal at provinces, some of the issues that have been placed on us as DOT will then be addressed in order for us to move forward with regards to the aims and objectives of the establishment of the Road Traffic Management Corporation. Which sums up the issue of why don't we have uniform standards as a republic in terms of one law enforcement fees. The other question that was raised relates to the question of the follow-up after the offense. Why is the offense or the sentence not commensurate with the offense that was committed? It was pointed out that one of the powers lies with the judiciary. We cannot then try and influence or alternatively then try and prescribe what needs to happen. One of the interventions that arises out of that dilemma was the establishment of the administrative adjudication of road traffic offenses, ARTO, which then starts to look at the process with regards to a violation as the ultimate dealing with that particular violation. Currently, as it stands, the violation which then a notice is issued, it then goes through the criminal process, and quite correctly has pointed out the magistrate has a discretion in terms of the sentence. We have seen the fault with regards to that process, and then we said let's establish an administrative process that will enable us to ensure that we can prescribe within our ambit as transport to say we view this offense in a serious manner. We would then want to say we prescribe an appropriate, a uniform sanction that is applicable to a specific offense. If you take it to the judiciary, the magistrate has a discretion, then he can determine what appropriate sentence he can then impose. If you do it administratively, the uniform, anyone then has to do the administrative process, which is applicable to the entire republic. Those are the issues that we as Department of Transport are, obviously, we can only set the guidelines, we can only prescribe what needs to happen. we cannot do the function until such time that the function or that process is completely within our ambit. Coming back to the issue, the questions as they were asked, in terms of one relating to prohibiting the wearing of traffic officers' uniforms and how do we envisage that will enforce the requirement that traffic officers' uniforms are not at the hands of people that are not supposed to be having them. One of the problems is that with regard to law enforcement, obviously it's a question of who then is responsible at the operational level to ensure that at the end of the day you are able to manage the law enforcement in its entirety. We can only then prescribe to say this is what needs to happen. The follow-up is at operational level, wherein we then anticipate or expect that whoever leads that particular directorate would be able to have a list of traffic officers who are on duty at certain times and at certain locations, who are able then to say when he does his checks and balances that at some point there were officers who were not supposed to be there, who were there, who are able then to identify his officers that he has employed and dispatched at various locations. We can only try and facilitate that incidences of fraudulent wearing or illegal wearing of traffic officers are prescribed to enable those that deal with the issue to can attend to it. It's a holistic approach starting from us and down to the operational level that needs to address that. And I said earlier, it's within the competencies of provinces to say how then do you deal with this issue. The other question of regarding the name, the wearing of name tags, how is public going to be able to identify whether this person is really the person that a name tag displays? Within the process of appointing your officers and identifying your officers, one would have expected that one of the checks and balances was to ensure that the traffic officers are able to identify themselves or be able to be identified by any member of the public that came across that traffic officer. Why do we then prescribe the name there? Because, as we are all aware, if nothing is provided for in legislation, it is not done. What we then view to say, let's prescribe it in legislation to say
it is a requirement that they wear the name tag. Why was it not done without the legal requirement? I do not have an idea why, when I appoint a traffic officer, I want that person to be reinforced. When I do my checks and balances, why do not I say in my uniform you will have your name tag, or you will alternatively have your name tag and your picture attached to your everyday uniform? Maybe if it was DOT that issued the uniform, we would have come up with this idea and say, these are the uniforms with name tags, with pictures on them. It might not have become a problem. It is a problem now. It was not done. We want to address it. And the only manner or way in which we as department can deal with it is to put it in legislation to make sure that provinces then comply with the requirements. The third question then relates to the offense for unauthorized use of aid. Why is the officer not subjected to the same offense? What is the department going to do? We as DOT, in dealing with fraud or fraudulent acquisition of driving license, one of the problems was we tried various avenues in terms of saying we then need to put monitoring devices within the vehicle or the testing facilities at GLTC. The project is the pilot project, which is running in Gauteng and in KZN, which is not a requirement. But the snag is, there is a problem with labor in terms of saying it is not a requirement. The same traffic officers that are supposed to be issuing the driving license, or the same examiner for driving license that are supposed to be complying with the requirements of the National Road Traffic Act, are then viewing my intervention in terms of addressing the fraud within the driving license fraternity as an encroachment on their rights. We then, with this provision, trying to say, if somebody comes for a learner's license, he did not come with any paper or some form of documentation that will assist that person to respond or answer the question as put before him or her. It's not a good solution. A good solution would be, why don't we implement a computerized learner's license, which will then deal with the issue. Unfortunately, for now, we do not have the system that will enable us to implement a computerized learner's license. We can only deal with the requirement in a certain or to a certain degree. What standard can the MEC use to set fees? Come to an issue of where is the competency? whether the minister can then prescribe what the MECs may set as fees. The indulgence of provinces that object to any suggestion of having income fees would then support that we cannot have a uniform standard if the function is not with us. If the function is with the action fee that was established to manage this thing, we would have one uniform fee. The question was, why don't we deal with, instead of looking at our process or activities within DOT, why then try and address it through the applicant? We are in a process of holistically looking at not only the issuance of driving license, but also the issuance of roadworthy certificate. It's a long process which would require changes in legislation. However, in the interim, what you can do is deal with these issues that you are able to deal with there and then and provide for them. The question also was with regard to uniformity of fees and standards. Why don't we have that? The basis for what is supposed to be happening within the Republic arises out of on operational or on road safety, and which the Department of Transport will then try and do what it can do within its power relating to the legal framework. Unfortunately, uniformity of the fees and standards is only achieved if the power lies with us. We have uniform standards with regard to motor vehicles. Anyone who buys a motor vehicle here buys a same kind of a motor vehicle. That power lies with us. But with regards to fees, that power does not lie with us. I cannot then say KZN for licensing of a motor vehicle, this is what you need to prescribe. We have a committee within DOT that obviously is just a committee that as partners we are informed of what the fees will be. As I said, you can try and describe the process. How much? The province is determined there. Well, we can try. and prescribe the process, not the fee. Not the fee. The other question was, in presence of officers, the traffic officer wearing a uniform, how would one identify that? The response that applicable to why and what needs to happen with regard to law enforcement, what needs to be done, how can we address that at operational level we are able to take control of our law enforcement fraternity. The question regarding the manner of accident reporting, whose competency is it? It comes back to a question of who's able to ensure a successful prosecution of an offender if it then came up that the driver was negligent, who are in a better position to understand the road traffic requirements or legislation. Their own traffic officers that are able to do that. In terms of the current process, if it becomes a criminal offense, the SAPS on a culpable homicide case, the SAPS then takes over with regards to investigating the negligence of any of the drivers. The first person that is obviously on the scene at any given time is our traffic officers, who might be enabled to have a prescribed standard that they need to utilize in capturing a particular accident. The other question relates to whether when we want to prescribe the minimum sentence that may impose, are we not encroaching on the judiciary in terms of their power? I would presume that they are the creator of statutes, although they remain independent. There is guidelines that they need to follow in terms of when they use their discretion, what consideration should they give in sentencing an aggressor. The reason that we as road traffic are unable to reach some of the millennium goals that we have set ourselves is because of the fragmentation, and I've been unable to really address some of the serious offenses that precipitate an accident. If we do not prescribe a minimum sentence, leave it at the discretion of a magistrate who has to look at the merits of the case, and without any guidance use his discretion in terms of sentencing, it then negatively affects us in terms of adequately dealing with traffic violations. The question relating to is there any uniform has been responded to? How do we verify illegal documents? We, in terms of all the documents relating to road traffic, those are face value documents which are easily identifiable. The other question was whether should there be an engagement between DOT and education in trying to ensure that we can educate the pedestrian with regards to road traffic facts. The Road Traffic Management Corporation is engaging or has a project at various schools in terms of trying to educate learners with regards to road safety. We cannot, as the Honorable Member has said, achieve a meaningful reduction in the accident if the person who's supposed to be guiding that child is the person that leads this child to disobey the traffic signs. In most instances, at every stage, children are aware where they are supposed to cross, when are they supposed to cross, how are they supposed to cross. If adults who are teaching, or for lack of a better word, and educating our children with regard to the education that they've been given.
Take us 2 hours. Can we find a creative way of dealing with
it? Really?
Especially with issues that have defined us two or three members of the same, or those practicing contentious issues. And to think that assist members, see, what is important now is to assist members to be able to make a better presentation in their project. For those other generic things, you may reserve them for the end of your point, so that if there's still time for you to pick up on some issues, then you are able to do it. But if you can just zoom into those key areas that you think might be problematic problems, as members of the idea, they are assisting process in the question. Well, I can already see members might have follow up questions. And if there's a one follow up question and you take 30 minutes on a question, I'm getting one. So let's just be creative.
I was accused of not giving the whole background in my presentation. That's the basis for me then to try and explain what was supposed to be contained in my presentation. So I'll try and zoom in on the key issues that honorable members have raised. The other question was with regard to emergency vehicles. What do we do with regard to emergency vehicles, VIP cars? In terms of the National Road Traffic Act, only members of the SAPS are allowed to transgress road traffic signs and safety limits. And the unfortunate question is that being the driver of a particular motor vehicle wherein a honorable MEC is in allows that driver to disobey road traffic signs based on his or her appointment within the SAPS. And whether can we then allow a process in terms of a private person exceeding the speed limit? Unfortunately, it would lead to a chaotic situation where we have, based on circumstances at any given time, a person disobeying road traffic signs. We need to ring fence it to a category of motor vehicles or departments that do some of the functions to disobey road traffic signs. If somebody is then apprehended based on the circumstances that led to him disobeying road traffic signs, I would presume that in terms of the current process, in mitigation of his sentence, the magistrates are able then to look at the presentation that was made and give a proper sentence based on the result, which is also included in terms of the ARCA Act to say if you do your representation and then you have supporting information, we are able then not to proceed with the violation if it was based on a valid reason. The other question relates to whether do we accept the issuance of roadworthy certificates of foreign countries. We are parties to the Geneva Convention and the SADC Protocol, which says that we have to facilitate freedom of movement of goods and passengers within the SADC region. But it does not go alone. It goes along with the standard that needs to be developed within the SADC region. I'm currently, or South Africa is currently sharing a standard
committee within the SADC region that deals with setting up of uniform standards within the SADC region. So obviously, with regard to the issue of whether that motor vehicle is roadworthy, it will fall off, become part of that process of developing uniform standards within SADC region. The issue of unauthorized aid was answered by the Reverend, prohibiting a private person from operating a GLCC. It was not included in the principal act. So what we say is we just sort of like clarifying as to who can then operate a driving license testing center. The question regarding the TBVC states. The unfortunate part with regard to TBVC state licenses is that long time ago we would wanted or we should have prescribed a date when this license has to be converted. But we have had engagement with various provinces in terms of trying to get those facts or proof that the license were issued. We are in that process. We only need to prescribe a date that everyone needs to go and convert his TBC license. It might be that they are no longer existent, but because they were valid licenses, we then need to have a date when you could then say everyone needs to go and convert. And obviously, you also need to be sure that when that person goes and converts, because in terms of him, he has a driving license, that center that issued that driving license is able then to try and get the documentation that led to the issuance of that driving license. The question with regards to providing for liability of managers and agents with regards to the NRTA. The NRTA provides for an offense committed by the driver of a motor vehicle. But in cases of overloading, it's not the driver that is wholly responsible for the loading of the motor vehicle. What this specific provision we are trying to say, he is not in charge of the loading. The agent or the manager of that as an operator is the person who should also be charged in conjunction with the driver. Now, if you find a driver or a motor vehicle overloaded, currently you can only charge the driver. But what we're trying to do is to say, these are some of the responsibilities that lie with the operator, so we also need to cite or be able to cite the operator when we charge for that specific offense. The question with regards to the definition, some of the definitions were not contained in the NRTA, and we just wanted to include some of those definitions. And the key one was maybe to say we need also to assist provinces in terms of the appointment of traffic wardens. That definition was not there. The whole inspector definition was not there. The reserve traffic officer was not there. And a subtractor definition was not adequately catered. I've responded to the question with regards to traffic officers apprehend offenders and prosecutors or give lenient sentence. Do not amend legislation without political problem. I would presume in terms of the road safety strategy, it has tried and addressed the socio-economic conditions of the Republic and what needs to happen in terms of addressing some of these issues. The chairperson, issues of emergency vehicles complain, in what category do they fall? As I said,
they are appointed in terms of the SAPS Act. They fall within the VIP unit, and they are then exempted from of complying with the National Road Traffic Act. The issue in terms of whether somebody is pregnant or what has been addressed. I hope I had attempted to respond to all the questions that were raised, and maybe as in assisting members in doing the presentation, I can after this then streamline and make some changes, and I'll circulate the new presentation to members for members to get and discuss at provincial level. And I hope that one of the key issues that members will discuss is why don't we have uniformity? What needs to happen that we have uniformity? Why don't we have uniform standards? Why do we have various and uniform? Who has the power to appoint traffic officers? And I will be able to tell honorable members in the next meeting whether do we have a uniform law enforcement agency after they have done their contract. I thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much for the responses. Let me just say a quick thing. With quite a shift, there was a program that the department had. I think, I can't remember what it was, where the department called on all drivers. I don't know what it was, a renewal of driver's license or something.
Yeah.
Where we had a problem throughout the country. There was a deadline. And according to the driver's license, it is the last thing of but the TVVT state was taken out in 2004. And it's only now that we're in action.
Yeah.
A section that seeks to phase them out. I mean, what the question is, why do we need a law to phase out TVVT? It therefore means that the person who had his or acquired his driver's license in Botswana in 1984 is still driving on that driver's license, whether it's in Nile or South Africa, I'm subjected to go and renew my driver's license in South Africa. That is the key question. Why do we need a single legislation for that? Why can't we have just a clarion call that all South African citizens, which I believe all those three TVVCC so-called people, are now South African identity. They are holding, they are carrying South African identity, green boots, and comments. I cannot understand. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't make sense. But in any case, like you say, we will be going to our province with this legislation. But it does not make sense to me to have a piece of legislation that is a matter that can just be called upon for every point to abide by that. The second issue, you consistently say that this issue of inconsistency. What you can do as a national department, what provinces can do, and uniformity. You are very selective when it comes to uniformity. In the act, you are saying you are going to prescribe that all traffic officers, national, must have name tags. According to this presentation, that is not going to come into law. That all of them must have name tags. But you can't say all of them must have one common uniform. It's quite inconsistent for me. why don't you can call on them to have badges on the other end, can't say to them that they can do this. And like you said, I don't know if there are any clarity for our questions. We are not going to conclude anything now, of course. And maybe for fellows of the community, it would be helpful not to wait until the next meeting, because our next meeting will be negotiating mandate. And if at a stage of negotiating mandate will be coming with new information that we may not have had the benefit of engaging our problems, it can create serious problems. There's this information you said you will give to us. And if we can have it before you will go and grieve our problems, it can be quite a benefit. And how is this Wati and then in that part.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just to spare time, there were too many follow-up questions, but I decided to take one, which becomes very crucial and serious to me. Chairperson, Parliament makes law, and judiciary interprets law. You must tend to make law. Mm-hmm. That should be clear. Now, I'm still on the section 35, that they will prescribe an appropriate sentence. If we look at 35 in the Principal Act, it deals with three things which a traffic officer, anybody else, cannot prescribe. Because it actually dealt there in section 1, sub 1A and B, or C. In the case of a death or a serious injury to a person, that entails carbon monoxide, it could be reduced to mens rea. Now, you cannot prescribe where if the speed limit exceeded, it would have to find yourself in that. Now, section 3, sub 1, if a court finds that an offense was committed by driving recklessly, which entails in evidence, you cannot prescribe. It might be inconsiderate driving or negligent driving, which comes to that. There are three things which you cannot prescribe. The court will arrive at that. You cannot prescribe any other thing. Now, the last one, section 55, 1 and sub 2 or 5, it deals with a driving under the influence of liquor, or intoxicated, beverages, drugs, many other things, which also the court is the only one that can pronounce. You cannot prescribe a sentence on those things because many tests must be done. So these are the things that when we go out to the provinces, Mr. Matomboga, as an advocate, you know, is a friend, who will be meeting the law, who is there, who represents this in court. They will ask you that. You have to now explain to them in what way you would prescribe a sentence when you put on the basis of that sentence. That is my problem.
Chairperson, you know, the responses are confusing more than the presentation. Because the question of inconsistencies that have been raised by the presenter, you know, they are telling us that the department hasn't done its job properly. There was no consultation on the part of what basis has prompted them to come up with this amendment. I mean, there is no way that we can say there is no federalism within a unitary state. Because here, the president has alluded to a static standard. How do you then match your standards with SADC when you have 9 different standards within your country as South Africa? I mean, this is confusing. You know, we must not allow ourselves in a situation whereby our provinces are confused by national. We are dealing with a national road transport bill here. We are not dealing with a provincial transport bill. And the guidance that the department is saying they are coming up with, it's the kind of uniformity that we want. But the selective mechanism that is being used is not assisting us. I mean, as public representatives, we can't allow this to continue. You know, the issue of the national identity document that we issued, there was no law that was saying that. If that happened, as it happened in the reintroduction, in the introduction of the driver's license, the new driver's license that we are having. But now, there is something that says, no, we must have a law that nullifies the driver's licenses that are no longer in the system. I mean, it's not acceptable. And it can't go through to provinces. I mean, we need to be honest and frank to the people that you are representing. Thank you.
I would dare to ask another question. I just want to know that Mr. Mugabe promised us a revised version of the presentation, which is more user-friendly. We're starting with our briefings next week. When can we have that?
Just a comment, because I think we're standing on very dangerous ground here. One issue that really stands out to me that is very dangerous is the fact that the department can now set processes with how to deal with the accident, which is normally the competency of the African police department. Now, there's a lot of issues there, right? Has this specific issue being discussed with the insurance people? Because they are the people that are asking mostly for accident reports and things like that. And I want to link this also with the road accident fund. I mean, there's another dimension that comes in with this issue. And then the question that arises, are these traffic officers, are they capable, have they got the capacity, the knowledge to deal with the reporting of accident, how do they report it? And I can already see here that we are treading on very, very, very dangerous ground. So first of all, the lawyers in the road accident fund is going to kill us on this. And they're going to find loopholes again. It's just a comment. I think we are playing on very dangerous ground, especially with the issue of now traffic officer. If it's got a capital homicide case, he's allowed to report on the accident. And I just think we're going to find ourselves on.
I can't sit in maybe the introduction of the member of the department the DG and you know something that's wrong. I don't know really. Who all are here for the department?
The apologies that DJ is going to she's not out of the apologies. But she's going to
get her, but something is not right. I mean, it's really getting difficult. Let me pause.
Is it one of the members? In not even in March. I think it's last year, a year before. We have been very consistent as a committee in engaging
one on issues of the reformity, on issues of the strength of the department to really deal with people's road safety, and the extent to which there's a general knowledge in the country, and the inability of the department to really deal with. And I remember last year the DC then made the call that as the NCOP the letter, and over and above what the department has been doing on your road safety education program, your arrival out campaign that started first with the Easter period. No, it was just the December period, and then it spread into Easter, and eventually it was then extended over a period of 12 months, and making it a consistent and sustainable program of educating our public on road traffic safety. But still, if members can remember, even this year, the digital said the department has arrived at the point now to say, we have done everything in our power to educate our public around issues related to road traffic safety. Now is the time to act and begin to put some teeth on whatever policy program or campaigns or whatsoever that we have. And I think this was really the intention, to give traffic officers some strength, give MCs or provinces strength, and I hope that I'm not presuming the traffic, but I think this background was quite important, and that's why I spoke of the issue related to the bank. But maybe the department became too anxious, or what, so I don't know how to do it, or creative. They became too creative now in bringing in other things that complicate the whole process. But I think the intention was in actual effect to give you. But we see sometimes our department seems like for them to come to Parliament with two or three amendments, they feel like it's a waste of time. Now they must come with a whole range of amendments to prove that the department is the right. And the department might also be confusing as much for time. So I said it's a sub-sensory thing, of course. We have the right to reject certain things, we have the right to change certain things that will suit and benefit the South African public much more better. I mean, I can't imagine the Northern Cape agreeing to an amendment that seeks to phase out TPDC state license. What happens then after they're out? What happens after 2 years we don't have any TPDC state driver's license? Are we going to have another amendment now to remove it as a piece or in our legislation? We don't need that. I don't think it's relevant, but there might be other things, of course, that we might have to propose as amendments to this piece of to enrich it. And as I said, let's not reject it yet. Let's not reject it. Let's take it to our program and take it as a basis to enrich and further strengthen the department in relation to dealing with issues related to road traffic safety, management, and generally the administration of the safety of our people as a whole. The Honourable Royal raises other things now. Matters related to the insurance companies, what they expect from us, the farm to car, and all the sort of things. The role of the police, are we not encroaching, are we not creating confusion? And I can imagine what's going to happen. So, Maybe that's what I would propose to the members that we deal with the issue. Let's approach it. And maybe ask the department that if there is any further information you think may assist in the process of better the extent or manner in which the business is done. In problems. Let us do it. I know, obviously, in all our problems, the very same officials from the provincial department are going to rely on this member to make presentations. It's not a new thing. They will be the very same officials. The same officials will also be asking for it. To reference. Instead of assisting, I can see you're saying that we have had extensive consultation on problems. But just choose one problem and then you hear your officials in the provincial department.
You are
going to the precinct. Invite them, your provincial officials. They will be the first ones to ask questions. And you see that the kind of problem that members are facing. Right?
The TB, stage licenses. I was under the impression they are long been rectified and people are having problems in private licenses. That's the impression I thought because of those people whom I knew they had from the TBB, these stage licenses, they sent them to the production private licenses. As you have correctly said, every 5 years you have to renew. Where does this come from now, from the federal department? I can't understand, really. I can't understand where it comes from.
Let's take it from what?
15 years down the line, we get out. Not something.
Now I'm saying, I don't know everybody, just taking it from what you know, 50 or 30. You know, our South African citizens are supposed to go and convert. You remember before we had your license, ID. So you had to go and convert and have your card. But for another way, just to left.
No, but yeah, there's a technicality there that's been overlooked totally.
Yes.
When we became a new South Africa in 94, the interim constitution and the new constitution did away with TDBs in our state. The citizens became citizens of the republic, just like me and Abram and whoever else were not in a TDB state. Later on, a law said that all South African citizens must convert their licenses to the new one that's now got the special But the point is, all South African citizens have to convert. Now, how can there be South African citizens that were not allowed to convert? I even got mine in a protector in the Switzerland.
Oh, yeah.
Really? You must
have
kept
it. No, thank you very much to the department of officials. Maybe one matter is the issue ahead, which we think that we are raising yesterday. The problems have been created for both men and women. The title might be on the
we might not have our meeting in the next two or three weeks. But to those problems that can do it this week, good luck. Those that can do it next week, good luck.
Those who can get out of their lives, good luck.
Because it's not an easy thing, of course. But we also rely on the ability of the members in the
yes, he said he's going to redo the presentation. He didn't say when, like Jan Brandt never said when things are going to get right.
When do you think that
Jan Brandt was on that one, they didn't have money.
Tuesday.
Tomorrow, you can drive from there to Gimbley and I'll give you a
Thank you very much.